hear a little ring. Could I just get a battery from back there, please? I'll change this out before we get started. Let's just quickly turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just maybe just read a couple of scriptures there. I won't go through the whole chapter tonight. We want to continue where we left off on last week. Let's just start at verse 1 here. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's just stop there with our scripture reading for tonight. And we last week focused on the one faith, and we went into the book of Jude to show where Jude said that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And very important to understand that as far as Christendom is concerned, there was a time where the church walked in the fullness of the truth of the Word of God after Jesus came upon the earth, and then from him leaving the earth, the disciples picked up that truth and they began to walk in it. But there come a time after Jesus died, roughly about 33 years after he died, that false doctrines begin to come into the church. And some of these false doctrines have created the problems that we have today. Now, if it's not obvious to people that there's differences in denominations, then something's wrong with our listening. Something's wrong with what we're doing when we go to church. You know, I guess some people go to church just to look good, right? They want to wear a hat or whatever and look good. Some for prestige, you know. Some because they need something from God, you know. Some because that's just the thing to do, you know. So many people go to church for many reasons, but God's reason for gathering his people together was to help us to get to know him a little bit better. And the only way that you're really going to know him is through the revelation of his word. So tonight we want to just try to, you know, go a little deeper into this one faith, because now we got, it used to only be one faith. Now we got many different faiths. I mean, and what people say is, you know, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal. What they're saying is that I'm of the Pentecostal faith, or I'm of the Catholic faith, or I'm of the Baptist faith. I'm of the Presbyterian faith. Well, how did we get all these faiths? See, it should only be one Lord, one faith. See, so but we got now so many different faiths, you know, and what that does is that the person that's out there on the street that don't know nothing about God, which faith is right? And then from there, that's just Christianity is all broke up like that. So it's hard for Christians to convert people from other religions. A man that's following Buddha or, you know, Muhammad or something like that. That's why it's so easy for kids. They grow up in church. And I don't think it happened. I've had friends of mine grow up in Baptist churches all their life and then get to college age and go to college. And one conversation with a Muslim turns them completely. One conversation. Because they never really got rooted and grounded in faith. And I'm not talking about in the Baptist, you know, faith, but really in the Word of God, you know. Some of us just know things because everybody else been quoting it. But we never really took time to look at it ourselves to see what does God's Word really say, you know, what does it say. So we want to kind of go a little deeper here. Tonight, we talked about that one Lord, one faith. Now, let's kind of talk about one baptism. Amen. Let's walk in that a little bit tonight. One baptism. I told you this, you know, this chapter is loaded. And we're going to just take our time and go through this. If you just give me the first quote here out of Revelation of Jesus Christ, this is a very lengthy quote. I'm going to read a part of it, and as the Holy Spirit will pull us out of it, then I'm going to dig into some scriptures here just to try to prove by the Bible what is the one baptism. Now, we got so many different baptisms. We got some baptize face first, some baptize, you know, put your back in the water, some sprinkle, right? As a little baby, they just throw water on you, just sprinkle water on you and say, that's a baptism, you know. And in the Catholic Church, if they sprinkle that water on you, the way that they teach it, you can live like a devil all your life. As long as you had that water put on you, you're going to heaven. You never repent of nothing, just a little water. Water ain't going to get nobody to heaven. I'm going to tell you that right now. Even if you baptize the right way, that still ain't guarantee no ticket to heaven. There are some people that go into the water, dry sinners, and all they do is come up wet sinners. See? So, you know, but we still want to try to prove to you what baptism is all about. One baptism. Now, I don't know if we get all of it tonight, but we're going to try by the grace of God. Let's pull this up. Listen to what the prophet says here in the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, the great I am, the Almighty God, has come as a spirit to fill his true church. He has a right to move anywhere he wants to and upon anybody he wants to. We don't make any holy men amongst us. Now, I love the way the prophet says that we don't make any holy men amongst us. What is that? People trying to ordain bishops and state presbyters and, you know, and all these superintendents and all these other things. We can't make holy men among us. You know, that's not the way that this works. We don't make any holy men amongst us, but the whole congregation of the Lord is holy. Amen. All us got to live holy, not just the person in the pulpit, but the whole church got to live holy. The whole congregation of the Lord is holy because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is He, the Holy Spirit, that is holy, not the congregation of itself. Now, that is the revelation. Jesus Christ is God. Now, that's a very important statement. Jesus Christ is God. Now, some people just say, well, he's just a son of God. No, Jesus Christ is God. We were trying to share that with you all a couple weeks ago at Easter. It would be wrong for me to commit sin and then God's son, you know, just come and die. I mean, he never did anything wrong, but God said, well, somebody's got to pay the price for that sin. Jack just sinned. Somebody got to pay the price. And what my law says is that if Jack sinned, Jack going to die, you know. But what I'll do is I'll offer some mercy or some grace to Jack. So the way for me to offer that mercy and grace to Jack, my son that ain't did nothing wrong, I want him to die in Jack's place. Now, that would just be totally unfair to the son that's living there. I mean, that's standing there. I never did anything wrong. Well, I got to die for Jack. Jack should die for himself. If God wants to save Jack, he can't call for somebody else to die for Jack. If he wants to save Jack, then he has to die for Jack himself. So what happens is that God entered into the body of Jesus, and he died for our sins. Jesus Christ is and was still is God. See, that's what we got. We got to get that clear. You know, if we can see that Jesus is God, then we won't have any problem with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We won't have a problem there. What the church has missed that completely, and that's how we got into some of the false baptisms and things like that. You know, because we missed the understanding of who God was. First, God was a spirit. That's what the Bible says in John 4, that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But God being a spirit, we couldn't identify him. What God did, the only way that the children of Israel knew that God was with them, they saw a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. They saw that. They recognized the presence of the Lord was with them by what the Spirit had generated there in their presence. But that same Spirit one day took on flesh. And the flesh, we read that in the book of John 1. I mean, we can let's maybe catch that. That one part of my, but it, the Holy Spirit has given it to us, so let's catch it. John chapter 1, because this will help us as we go forward. If you're going to understand Genesis 1, you also need to read John 1. In the beginning, God. If we want to understand that, now John 1 gives us a little bit more clarity of what happened in the beginning. John 1 tells us in the beginning was the Word. Now, if we had the original translation of the scripture, that particular word there that says in the beginning was the Word. The Word is actually the Logos, all right, in the original translation of the scripture. And what we got here, let's read this very carefully. In the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word, or the Logos, was with God. And the Word, or the Logos, was God, all right? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Skip down to verse 14. And it says this, and the Word, or the Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I just want to work with that just a little bit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if we want to understand what happened in the beginning when the Bible says, let us make man in our own image. Well, us would have to be multiple something, it's not just one person standing there. So what we have here is God being a spirit gave birth to the Logos, all right? And in this form, the Logos is nothing more than just the light. That's the pillar of fire that the children of Israel saw as they were traveling through the wilderness. It was the pillar of fire. It was still God, but this is what God, as a spirit, he gave birth to something that men could see and identify his presence. That's what the Logos, or the Word, was. All right. Now, that same Logos eventually became flesh, and the flesh was in Jesus Christ. When the Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, so, you know, we know that the Logos, or the Word, became flesh, which was Jesus. Now, how do we know that? In the book of Acts, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, Paul got struck down by a great light, all right? And when Paul got struck down by the light, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Right? And the light spoke back to Paul and said, "I am Jesus." So the Logos, or the Word, or the light, that light was the thing that we could see to see the presence of God. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, which John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Not only that, the Word was God. It was God. Wasn't two different beings. It was God. It was just a way for God to give birth, amen, to himself, so that he could dwell in a body, you know. Because as a spirit, we couldn't touch him. We couldn't feel him. As a spirit, he could not die for us. He had to become flesh to die for us. We needed a kinsman redeemer. All right. Now, let's just try to, I mean, hopefully that just kind of set a little precedence, because we'll keep going. We're trying to get back. We got to get back. Got to get back. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Let's get the church back to the right baptism. Amen. Because we done heard so much over the years. Well, what's right? What's wrong? Now, let's try to get back to this one baptism. All right. Now, we already got right here. And just keep that before. God gave birth to to the Logos, so that man could identify his presence. That Logos was God. The Logos was with God. The Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, now let's go back to this quote. Now, I'm try to get to some more scripture here. Now, that is the revelation. Jesus Christ is God. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. You know, I love that. The Holy Spirit revealed that to Brother Branham. He had already been preaching there was only one Lord, one God. And it was, you know, he knew that Jesus Christ was God. But one day while he was out hunting, the Holy Spirit just spoke to him. You know, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. You know, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. See, that's a powerful statement right there. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. All he did was just change mass. That's all that happened. God just changed his mass. Amen. It's just like being in a play. And I mean, one person can play many parts, but it's still the same person all of the time. They just, one part they could be the hero, another part they could be the villain. It's still the same person all the time. See, God just changed his mass. That's all that happened. He was, he moved from God being above us to God being with us in form of Jesus. And then as the Holy Spirit, it was God in us. But it was always God. See, amen. Listen, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. No matter how hard you try, you can't prove there are three gods. But it also takes a revelation by the Holy Spirit to make you understand the truth that he is one. It takes revelation to see that Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Satan, see, when we talk about Jude said, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Look, Satan crept into the church and blinded the people to this truth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is still the truth. There's people that you sit down and you start trying to talk this over with them immediately. They guards go up. That can't be true. Well, let's read the Bible. Can we read the Bible? You know, you trying to, oh, no, no, uh-uh, I don't, no, you can't, all right. If we can't read the Bible, we ain't got nothing we standing on as Christians. When people get that way all huffy and puffy, you can tell. I'm just, you know, God got to touch your heart to be able to receive his truth. You know, because you can tell when people open to receive truth, and sometimes they just be so closed off, you just, okay, I pull back. I ain't got nothing to say. But I tell you what, you keep going the way that you're going, and you're going to eventually see that there ain't nothing else out there but this truth. See, ain't nothing else out there but this truth. Some things look like it. I mean, you know what? At the end, you're going to pay the price at the end. But this truth right here is what we got to stand on. Amen. Listen, no matter how much it looked blessed, stay with the original. Stay with the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. In Laodicea, this age, we have never had big churches like we got today. We've never seen that ever in our life. Yeah, most of us growing up in church, mega church, that was not even a word. That was not even a word. Just, you know, we had this church, we had that church. You just kind of picked the one you want to go to, you know, and away you went. But mega church, no, thousands of people gathering together. That was never. And if you really watch the scripture, when Jesus had thousands gathering together, he tested them. He wanted to see how much they really loved his messages. When he told them, you know, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, oh boy, that was it. That day, all of them just walked out. I can't take a message like that. That's it. That showed really where they were. See, so, you know, nowadays, you go and you challenge some of these churches with, you know, you can't dress like that. You can't know. The Bible say this. You can't look like that. No, the Bible say that. He didn't mean what he said. Y'all forgive him for what he just said. He didn't mean it. You know, we'll talk to him later. I remember they did Brother Branham like that. He said, I meant every word I said. Every time I walk in the pulpit, I ain't never had to take nothing back that I said when I walked out. So I meant every word I said. So I guarantee you today, people don't want to hear this. You can test their spirits. All you got to do is give them the word test. Give them the word. And when you give them that word and see how they bow up, don't want to talk no more, oh my. But there's a church out there for folk like that. Amen, it sure enough is. You run so far from the truth that eventually you run right back into it again. Oh my, ain't nothing but right. Let me kind of keep going on. I see things and hear things. Sometimes don't be so quick to go out and say stuff to people. You just sit back and just let them start talking. And before you know it, you come to find out they come out of what you in. They're trying to get away from it. But here God just bring it right back to them. Yeah, we used to dress this way. We used to act this way. Come on, y'all. Y'all know when we was coming. I'm just talking about me. I just crossed over 40. But I remember when I was a little boy wearing pants to church. Come on, come on, come on. Now, y'all know that was a no. They would. Now I'm talking about the choir rehearsal. Coming from the mall, go home, change first, then go to the church. That's what I mean, choir rehearsal. But not anything going to church. And we say we bless. All right. Okay. Let me get back to this, and then I'm going to get to the scripture. Satan crept into the church and blinded the people to this truth. And when they were blinded to it, it wasn't long until the Church of Rome stopped baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. Look like we found something. They stopped baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where did that come in at? Let's go back and look at some scriptures on baptism. I think we have to start at Matthew 28. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. This is what the church is standing on, Matthew 28. Verse 19. Now, this is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He's given the disciples commandment here. Actually, verse 18, he says this. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And now see in the Bible, every word means something. So when you read the scripture with people, make sure you read it very, very slow. Okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now here we got Peter standing there on this day, listening to Jesus speak these words, baptizing them in the go do this, Peter, go to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go baptize in the name of the Father and also of the Son or also of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, they're not just. And it's not names, it's not pluralized, it's just name of the Father, name of the Father. Now, Peter's standing right there, and over in the book of Acts, chapter 2, let's find out what Peter did. Peter's the one with the keys to the kingdom, and he did something here in Acts chapter 2. And Acts is where the church really got started. You know, from the day of Pentecost, that's where things got started. We should still be following these models. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at this. Verse 36. This is after the day of Pentecost. Peter coming out of the upper room. And, you know, people having questions. Peter began to answer their questions. And look, it says here, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. That's the first thing. That means be godly sorry for your sins. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But Peter says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So now Peter has established something here on the day of Pentecost for the church to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what we need to prove to everybody is that that is the name of God. That is it. When Jesus said, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Peter caught a revelation of what the name of the Father was, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. What is that name? The name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost is Lord Jesus Christ. Peter caught the revelation. So that's why he said, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because he caught the revelation of what the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name is Lord Jesus Christ. Let's find a few scriptures that would help us to solidify that. Turn with me to Isaiah 42 and 8. Isaiah 42 and 8. Okay, Isaiah 42 and 8 says this, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So it looked like God is telling us what his name is. He says, I am the Lord. And remember, I just told y'all, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Let's just keep working. Amen. Let's keep working. We got another scripture here, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 2. Jeremiah 33, verse 2, it says this, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. The Lord is his name. All right, so we're capturing, you know, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're capturing that. The Lord is his name. We, you know, really, when you're working with the Old Testament, you're still working with God in as the Father. You're still working with him in that role as a Father. Now, he's giving us his name. He says, the Lord is my name. You know, that's what he's saying. The Lord is my name. Now, let's just keep going on to some New Testament scripture here. My. Let's see here. I think we actually just read one that actually back in Acts 2:36, if you have that. Okay, look at what it said here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. So here, Peter talking to the Jews. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord. Now remember, wait a minute, his name was Lord. All right, I am the Lord, that is my name. Now this Jesus that you crucified is both Lord and Christ. Now, I mean, Peter is called a revelation here. Peter ain't just making these things up. He's got something real rich here that he's trying to sow into the church. The same Jesus that y'all crucified is Lord and Christ. Now, we also found out that he said, my name is Lord. That's my name. So Peter's saying this Jesus that y'all crucified is both Lord and Christ. He is the Lord. All right. So let's just kind of keep on going here. Let's see here. There was another one. Let's go to Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21. Praise the Lord. Look at what it says here in Matthew 1:21. This is Mary and Joseph receiving a promise of a son. And Joseph receives a dream and, you know, and tell him, fear not to take unto him Mary, his espoused wife. And let's just start at verse 20. It says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's another problem right there before I go too far with that. Because they said that God was Jesus' father. But what we just read here in the scripture is that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's only one way that we can logically explain that. The Father and the Holy Ghost is the same person. That's the only way to explain that. The Father and the Holy Ghost got to be the same person. Otherwise, Jesus got two daddies. That's that. So something's wrong. We got to get this revelation lined up just right. Jesus don't have two daddies. He got one daddy, one father. See, it's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is Father of all. One. So we got to get this right when we're looking in the scripture. See, what I'm doing here tonight is I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's fight for, argue, you know, do all you can. I mean, sometimes you got to sit down and have meetings, and you got to know how to walk through the scriptures with people, because what we believe got to be in the Bible. Amen. It's got to be in the scripture. See, amen. We just can't. Well, I just believe it. Just believe it. Well, somebody had to show you something. Well, show me what they showed you. See, so we got to walk through the scripture. Let's keep going here. All right. It says, marry thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So what's the name of the son? Jesus. What's the name of the father? We just read it. Now he says, my name is Lord. So here we got Lord Jesus. All right, here we go. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then when we read over there in Acts, it says, Peter said, this Jesus that y'all crucified is both Lord and Christ. What Christ means is the anointed one. So that's why he is Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we baptize, we don't baptize in the name of Jesus only. You know why? Because there are so many Jesuses on this earth. There is. I mean, you know, as soon as you talk to a fellow from Mexico or something like that, hey, what's your name? Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. So we don't just baptize in Jesus' name. No, not just Jesus only. We baptize in it's only one Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that saved us from our sins. See? So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Demons back up when they hear that. Now you got to understand this. And you say, now Jesus even said, when you ask the Father anything, ask it in my name. What is Jesus' name? Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, folk can pray in the name of Jesus. They can cast out devils in the name of Jesus. They'll prophesy in the name of Jesus. But when you say get baptized, no, I ain't doing that. How can you do all these other things in his name and not get baptized in it? Something's wrong. See? Amen, church. Let's keep working with this. I want to keep going. Let's look to see if there's anybody ever been baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at, we know Acts 2:38, we just read that, but let's look at, I think it's Acts 8. And this is how the church was established. This is how the church was established. We're getting back to one Lord, one baptism. And I'm going to tell you, you know, up in, at the time that the, we read it here in the scripture, but at the time that the, here through the book of Acts, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ all throughout. But there come a time where Satan got in. Satan knew the power that was in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what he did is get into the teaching in the church and took that name out. And now there's a false baptism. Now, just so I can also just try to, I want to make this point. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is where the revelation comes in. We have to know the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. As a Father, amen, again, that's God above us. As a Son, he's God with us. And as the Holy Spirit, he is God in us. All right. Now, Father is a title. Son is a title. The Holy Ghost is a title. See? All right. That's what, you know, the Father, like, and if I could just use myself as an example, I'm a father, right? I have parents that make me a son as well. Okay? And at Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, I am pastor. All right? On my job, I'm the infrastructure manager. You know, all of these are titles. All of these are titles. But if, you know, if you were just to yell out, hey, son, you know, any man in here could answer to that. Any man, because all of us are sons, all right? Father, any man in here that got kids, or you just say daddy, any man in here could probably answer to that if he got children, okay? If you want to get my attention, you know, you're talking directly to me, but you're calling me all these titles, I'm not responding because you're using all these titles. Anybody can respond to that, all right? And even sometimes you don't have people, you know, sometimes little kids, they'll be playing games with your daddy. And it ain't your child. It's somebody else's child calling you just to play games with you, you know. You turn anyway looking, oh, that, you know. And you turn and look funny because that person really can't lay claims on you with that title, right? You know, heard people, mama. You just, And you know they playing games with you, calling you mama or whatever. And you know that ain't that. You know that's just a little joke there that they can play. But you know you don't respond to them the same way when your child call you mama or call you daddy. All right, because those are just titles. But if that person that wasn't playing games was really trying to get my attention, they would call me by my name, Brother Jack, and not just even brother. Brother, anybody could respond to that. But Brother Jack, that's now you have identified who you really are talking to. All right, Sister So-and-so, you've identified. See, we've identified the Father, we've identified the Son, we've identified the Holy Spirit with the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Those other, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, those are titles. Titles. Peter got a revelation that we weren't supposed to just baptize. Peter said, well, I know the name of the Father. I know the name of the Son. I know the name of the Holy Ghost. That name is Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you talking about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, that's the Spirit of Jesus that lives in you. Because Jesus said, I go away, but I send the Comforter. See, the Comforter, say, I'm just with you, but the Comforter is going to live on the inside of you. And if I don't go away, then the Comforter cannot come in. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. That's the Spirit that was in Jesus now living in the church. See, well, and notice I said it's the Spirit of Jesus. Who did the Spirit belong to? Belonged to Jesus. That's what Brother Gene was saying. I'm sorry, John. I get that. He was saying that on Sunday. You know, there's, you know, you look at this hand, you look at these eyes, you look at, you know, the feet. You know, when I say that's my feet or my hands or my head or my this, there's a me on the inside that all of that belongs to. See, that's what he was telling. There's a me that all that belongs to. See, so, you know, we want to know who does it belong to. That Spirit, that dwelling in you, that belonged to Jesus. That's his Spirit. See? Oh, my. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the same person operating in three different offices. Just like I operate as Father, I operate as Son, I operate as Pastor, I operate as an infrastructure manager. I got multiple different titles, multiple different offices. But the person that operates in all of that, the name is Jack Duff. That's the name. He operates as Father, operates as Son, operates as Holy Spirit, but his name is Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Peter told us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because he recognized what the name was. Let's read some scriptures here just to prove that this happened in the scripture. I can tell you right now, there is not one place in the Bible where anybody was ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not one scripture to support it. You had to catch it by revelation. Peter did. Peter caught the revelation. Look, I got Acts 8. I got verse 16, but let's see here. I want to start up a little. Start up a little earlier. Let's start at verse 12 in Acts 8. But when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now we see the scripture tell us that they were baptized. After they believed, they were baptized. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus. And now that's the promise. If we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, it says the promise is unto us, to our children, those that are far off, say we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you've done it God's the way God said, do it, church, you hold on to that promise no matter what you're going through. No matter what you see happening in your family, Lord, you promised to baptize my children with the Holy Ghost because I've come according to your promise. Amen. Amen. You can just hold that, before God and just let it go. Amen. You know, amen. This is what I did, Lord. So that promise is unto me, to my children, as many those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm not even going to worry about them. Some kind of way, they got to go to the water. They got to follow that. They got to fall in line. See, amen. Amen, church. See, and that's the only way the promise is. All right. Let's read another one here. Let's catch, I believe it's Acts 10. All right. Praise the Lord. I got a certain verse here, but I might want to. Yes, let's start at verse 44. Okay. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. I'd love for that to happen someday. Just be in church, and while the word of God is being preached, the Holy Ghost just fall on the people, you know. Amen. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now notice when they got the Holy Ghost, they went. And even though they had not been baptized, because, you know, I like to say it like this. If you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God's formula for you receiving it is repent, be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here we have in the scripture where people received the gift of the Holy Ghost before they even were baptized the right way. But if you got the Holy Ghost, let me just put it this way. If you got it, He is the Spirit of truth that will lead you into truth. So immediately here, when they receive the Holy Ghost, and once they found out, amen, what they need to do, immediately they did it. All right. Watch this. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, wait, this is another opportunity, Peter telling somebody to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus said in Matthew, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But Peter had a revelation of what the name was. The name was Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's telling them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. We know the name of the Lord is Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's keep going to one more scripture here, over into Acts 19, because this is the one that when we see the light, we got to walk in. Because I was baptized before I came to understand truth. I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And sometimes they'll say it like that. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Or they'll say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the... They use all kind of things, you know. And what they're... It's a false baptism. They don't even know. Most of the people that's using that don't know where it came from. They have no idea. They just use it. But according to scripture, that's no one ever got baptized that way. It was a false baptism. It was not right. And, you know, we just went down in the water, came up like, oh, boy, I feel so much better. No, 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 no. And you know what? God knew it wasn't right. But God also knew that he would set up a time to bring truth your way so that you could make things right. See, God knew that. God knew that your heart would be ready. And the way God worked, he don't force this on nobody. God is a gentleman. You know, he does not, and he just presents it. He presents his word, you know, accordingly. So as he presents it, you know, you have the opportunity to just, oh, yeah, I'm going to take that. You know, I'm going to run with that. See, you have the opportunity. But he don't force it on you. He just kind of slide it right on in there, you know. God is a good God. See, but the thing about our God is that he wants us to walk in his truth. Now, what we read here in the book of Acts chapter 19. And we'll start at verse 1. This is a group of people that had been baptized unto John's baptism. John's baptism was a baptism unto repentance. See, unto repentance. Get your heart right. God is sending Messiah, so, you know, we're going to baptize you unto repentance. But, you know, what Peter said is that, no, not just unto repentance. You baptize in the name of Jesus, this can remit your sins. This can remit. This changes things. See, amen. Back in the Old Testament, people would come and offer their sacrifices to God. And, you know, God said, you know, certain things that he wanted at certain times, and if you did certain things, this is the type of sacrifice they want. So people would come and they would identify themselves as sacrifice by, if it was the lamb that they were given, they would cut that lamb and put their hand on the blood of that animal, you know, saying that they were transferring the sins that they committed onto this innocent animal. And they would go and they would do that. But the problem, after they would go through this whole exercise, and you can see them just getting all the blood all over their hand, and then from that, going and washing that blood off, thinking something innocent just died for you. Just died for that sin that you just committed. Something innocent. What did that animal do? Nothing. But it had to die for something you did. See? And they get the blood all over their hand, and they go wash it off. And maybe at that moment, because, you know, this is warm blood, you know, just, and it ain't easy. If you've gotten, I mean, just go fishing and the blood of a fish get all over you. It ain't easy to get off. See, you have to think about what just happened here. This lamb that you've been raising and all of this, and now it's gone and it's got, you got the blood on your hands. You go to try to get that off. You got to think about what just happened there. Problem is, no matter how hard you would think or how appreciative you was of that animal dying for you, if your heart was not changed, you'd go right back out 6 months later and do the exact same thing all over again and bring another lamb to the church. And off. Now, you know what happens, that the first time you do it, oh man, I ain't gonna do that no more. Whew. Well, I can't believe I had to raise that lamb to do that. And here I'm leading up to the church, knowing what I'm getting ready to do to it. The lamb just trust me, just follow me wherever I'm going. I'm leading, knowing what I'm getting ready to do to this lamb. Then eventually get to the point you just raise lambs because you know what you're getting ready to do. Now, you know what? That's how people come to the altar. That's exactly how they come to the altar. Just like they doing God a favor by coming to the altar. You ain't doing God no favor. See, I mean, you don't feel sorry for Jesus. Jesus feels sorry for you. See? But this is the way people approach it. They say, oh, whatever, I'm just going through the motions. And they went through the motions so much till Jesus had to beat folk out the church. Because no longer are they raising the lambs themselves. I feel so bad about raising the lamb and then having to do that. You feel bad about it? I'll sell you one. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to feel bad about it. That's the raising part that you feel bad. Raise them yourself. That's, I raise them, sell them to you. You ain't even got to feel bad about that. Wow. So now when you get to the church, man, I need a lamb. I need a lamb. You know, I ain't got one. Here, you nice fluffy one right here. Go right with you. Come on, take them on in into the house of God. Offer them to the priest. And this is the way they got. It got so bad, God just thought it was a stink in his nose. He didn't want that anymore. I mean, if that's what y'all think of my sacrifice, that's just, I don't even want it anymore. And this is how people got. That's the way God is. And if that's the way you got to approach this altar, don't come. don't go. If you're not sincere and honest about your conviction, about wanting to live for me and want your life changed, don't come, because I am not accepting it. This is the way God is. He said, I have no other gods before me. I don't want nothing else before. It's either going to be me or nothing. That's how God thinks about it. So when we come and we offer our sacrifices, oh God, I'm transferring my sins to what Jesus did on the cross. I'm transferring my sins to, I believe that you were the perfect sacrifice. No longer do I have to have that desire to sin anymore. See, my sins can be remitted, washed away, take out, where no more desire anymore. See, before, yes, unto repentance. Because baptism really just shows that you have a good conscience towards God. That's what it is. It's a good conscience. And when your conscience is right, God is obligated to show you truth. God is obligated to show you truth. Here in Acts 19, we have some people that were very sincere. The only problem is, if I can say it like this, you can be sincere, but you can also be sincerely wrong. Sincerely wrong. And sincere, but sincerely wrong. These people were sincere, but sincerely wrong. And when God sees you like that, he presents truth to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Look at verse 1 in Acts 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? See, and that's another thing. Many people say, well, as soon as you believe on the Lord Jesus, you got the Holy Ghost. No. The Holy Ghost is a spirit that come and change the way that you act. All right. And since you believe, and that means after, since you believe, has the Holy Ghost come into you? See, but most people, well, I believe I got the Holy Ghost. No. It should be a change that take place on the inside. See, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We ain't even heard nobody talk about the Holy Ghost. You know, what is this you talking about? So he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, now notice those other scriptures that I was reading earlier out of Acts 8, Acts 10, Peter was saying that. Now, y'all stay with this. Watch this now. Peter was telling them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, we know, was one that was doing everything he can to get at the saints, all those that was following the truth. We know Paul was doing that. Paul, on the road to Damascus, met the Lord as he was going down there to kill some more, try to get some more people arrested and killed, just like he had Stephen stoned to death. When he met God on the road to Damascus, Paul ended up in the Arabian desert for 3 years, okay? Paul comes out of this desert. Now, he's teaching truth. He's preaching everybody Jesus of the New Testament was Jehovah of the Old Testament. Paul is preaching that revelation. Now, look at Peter. We found what Peter said to people when he met them. They wanted to be baptized. He met some saints in the house of Cornelius there in Acts chapter 10. But now look at what Paul says to these people in Acts 19. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. See, John was introducing the Lord Jesus Christ. So believe, and he even told him, say, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming that can baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. That's what we need, the Holy Ghost and fire. Fire to burn out sin. Amen. Should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized, what? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul was teaching the same thing Peter was teaching. But 33 years after Jesus died, Jude began to say, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, because somewhere down the line, the truth has been misrepresented. And not only that, the truth has been lost. So therefore, God told Jude to forewarn the people, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And last week, I showed y'all a quote. I'll pull it back up. Give me God Has a Provided Way. There's a quote there. I think it's on the paper from last week. Give me the paragraph number 27 on that. Oh, my. I'm going to keep running. We're going to keep going a little further with this. I got some more quotes to bring on this. But the ultimate thing, what I want to share with you is that Paul told him to be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to keep going with that scripture, we'll see where they did. They were baptized, and they also received the Holy Ghost after they were baptized. But what we need to clearly understand is that when they knew that they were baptized wrong, they got baptized right. When I found out that I was baptized wrong, when God opened up this understanding to me, take me to the water to be baptized again, because I want to be baptized the way the Bible says baptized. Not only that, the way Jesus said. Jesus said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, he said, and Peter caught the revelation, the name is Lord Jesus Christ. Not titles, but name. What is the name? The name is Lord Jesus Christ. This quote, we're now moving, is that right? I'm sorry, the date on God Has a Provided Way, and the date on is that it's 54-0404E. 54-0404E, and the paragraph is 27. I'm sorry about that. I think I had two. He says this, says, and now we're moving right on into another great age, coming for the rapture of the church. Now, this is where we are, coming for the rapture of the church. And in this, we're living in the time of the restoration of the gifts. It stumbled many of the big fine churches. It sent Nazarene backwards. It made fanatics out of a lot of Pentecosts. But just the same, God's moving right on, bringing in the rapture and faith for his church. God is bringing in the rapture and faith for his church. And if you all were honest, you all would know, if any of y'all, any of y'all that's been in church long enough, know how church used to be real. It's not that way anymore. Pentecostals, you didn't go to no, you went to the Baptist church if you still wanted to drink and hang out at the clubs and all that other type of stuff. But Pentecostal church, you didn't walk in there with no sin in your life. You would get called out in a minute. And if you want to sin, don't go to that Pentecostal church. The mothers have you on the altar so fast, they will pray you through. And I'm telling you, y'all can, and you come in there with a little skirt on, you want to. They'll put a coat on you and put everything else on you. You lay sheets on you. If you're going to come in here, you need to dress appropriately. I'm telling you, none of that was played around with in that church. The Spirit of God, the presence of God was felt there. But it ain't that way no more. It ain't that way no more. We done got into a lot of foolishness now. A lot of stuff that ain't even in the Word of God. And see, that's why the Bible even talk about, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's what churches come to. Please bring, I'm not going to go no further. I'm going to read this. But I'm trying to get you to see God moved on. When the church left God, God moved on. See, that's what God. And you look back in the days of the Israelites, when they left God, God moved on, got some other nations to work out his will. But eventually he come right back around and get them. God knew that we were in those churches. God knew that he wanted to bring truth to us, so that's why he pulled us out of there. Everything that happened, God ordained it to happen. To get you out. I know that's hard for people to realize, but everything, God has ordered every one of your steps, every one of them. All the bad stuff that happened, all the people talking about you, God let them talk about you like that. You know why? Because he wanted you to get so fed up that you would not go back. That's what God was saying. He let them do you like that. I want you to hate this. I want you to hate it, that you'll never go back. Once you find truth, you'll stay with that truth and let nobody persuade you differently. Amen. Amen. I'm here. I got some things to preach, and I got things to say. I got all kind of stuff to do, and I'm trying to do the best I can. Listen, it stumbled many of the big fine churches. It sent Nazarene backwards. It made fanatics out of a lot of Pentecosts. And y'all know that's the truth. I ain't never seen so much fanaticism till I've seen it today. You know, it used to be, just keep the quote there. I'm sorry to say all these things, but it used to be a time, yeah, that speaking in tongues, it was real. And interpreting a tongue, oh, yeah, it was real. You walked into the woo! As soon as you heard a tongue go off, you're like, and you had some in your life, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, please, God, don't let them come to me, Lord Jesus. You'd be in church cringing, oh, my, I can't wait to get out of here. But I'm telling you, if you had sin in your life, that's the way you went to church. But nah, the devil speaking tongues and everybody rejoicing. They know that person ain't living right. They know they ain't living right, but still speaking in tongues and interpreting, everybody rejoicing over it. That's fanaticism. And not only that, meet you in the grocery store. Meet you in the parking lot of the grocery store. I got a tongue for you. Now we go to church looking for somebody in the church to give us a word when we got it. We got it. Amen. But we waiting on somebody. I need a word. Give me a word. Give me a word. Give me. No, we got the word. We got it right here. And let every man's word be a lie, but this be true. Amen. Amen. See, but it's fanaticism. We've entered into fanaticism. All right, let me see. I made a fanatics out of a lot of Pentecosts, but just the same, God's moving right on, bringing in the rapture and faith for his church. That's right. So tonight, I represent that faith, not just that, but what faith? The faith that was once delivered to the saints in the way of a divine gift. The ministry that God gave Brother Branham was for a very specific purpose. And that ministry was to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers, according to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. God promised it would happen in this day, and we're the children that God was looking for. What is turning our hearts back to the faith of the fathers? Back to the Bible. That's all God was looking to do. Because nowadays, folk don't use the Bible. But God wants us to come back to the Bible. Because that's where the faith is that was once delivered to the saints. It's found in his word. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word tonight. As we just keep going deeper and deeper into this, Lord, you are restoring. You're turning our hearts back to the faith. And we're so grateful, so thankful. You did this for us while we were yet sinners. You already knew, Lord, where we'd be, the steps we would take, the ways that we would walk. But God, you had it already ordained that there would come a day that truth would be made known to us. The Bible says when we see the light, to walk therein. That's what the saints did there in Acts 19. They were revealed more light, and they began to walk in it immediately. Help us to have that type of resolve. That's what the church, the true church today, they'll be just like that church in the book of Acts. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that you sent a prophet in this hour, and his job was to restore the truth, to preach the truth to the people, that the people would know what it is that you wanted from us. And we're so glad that you allowed us to hear what the prophet has said in this hour. He's only said what your word has said. And fought every denomination out there bringing this truth. God, but he foresaw years down the road that there would be people sitting in a church one night sharing those same things, coming to the knowledge of the truth. We're thankful. We're grateful. Bless our hearts, God, as we just continue to fellowship around this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.